Next door to a pleasant little church that's in the building, dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary, is something which is unique in this part of London. Indeed, unique in the centre of the town. It's a factory making... Well, you tell me, Mr. Moore, what do you make?
Well, we've been making carburettors in Marylebone Road since 1925.
All forecast follows at once. Story. The southwest of England, which had the first and perhaps the worst of the blizzard on Saturday, is now in even worse trouble. Heavy rain fell on top of the snow this morning. Then northeasterly winds began pushing the milder air back, and this afternoon the rain has been followed in places by another blizzard. Devon and Cornwall are again virtually cut off from the rest of England, and all main roads leading eastwards from Honiton are impossible, with drifts blocking roads as far as the Hampshire border. All roads over Dartmoor and Exmoor are still blocked, and it's now thought certain that many sheep and ponies must be dead. The RSPCA say they've had so many calls for help from farmers in the area that they don't know which way to turn. The 72 coach passengers who had been stranded at the Clay Pigeon Cafe at Warden Hill, north of Dorchester, since Saturday, have been rescued. Here's a report from David Shute.
A Royal Naval helicopter was the first rescue unit on the scene. It landed near the cafe at 11 o'clock, and a cheer went up from the people who'd spent two nights sleeping in chairs and their days talking, listening to the BBC news bulletins, and playing the jukebox in the cafe. The people who were chosen to go out by helicopter were seen by a doctor earlier this morning. He'd struggled through the drifts to examine those who were feeling the effects of roughing it for two nights. In the first part to leave was the mother and her five-week-old baby, whose health was beginning to cause concern. And one or two of the elderly people in the party were also beginning to show signs of distress, and they were flown out too.
Then at News and Radio Newsreel. First, the news. The Chancellor of the Exchequer has announced a New Year cut in purchase tax. From tomorrow, the rate on things like television sets and radios, gramophones and records, scent and cosmetics, is coming down from 45 to 25%. That means more than £7 off a 70-guinea television set, 4 shillings off a top-price classical LP, and something like half a crown off a pop LP. In parts of the West Country, over a 20-mile belt across Dartmoor and Exeter, it's been snowing heavily again, and the southwest generally is now cut off by road from London. It's thought certain that many sheep and ponies have died in the drifts on the moors. The RSPCA say they've had so many calls from farmers that they haven't known which way to turn. In the Midlands and in parts of eastern Scotland, there have been light falls of snow, and all main roads in Scotland are affected by ice or snow or both. In the Midlands this afternoon, rain froze as it fell, making roads especially tricky. In Radio Newsreel, there will be stories of the great blizzard from all over Britain. The Congo. President Chombe has flown back to Katanga after his talks with Sir Roy Walensky in Salisbury, and he's in a place from which it's thought he may organise a guerrilla campaign. Mr. McMillan has had his first meeting with the service ministers since the Polaris Agreement. A man sent to prison for 2 years at the Brighton racehorse doping trial was said to have supplied enough drugs to dope between 600 and 900 horses. The famous card club, Crockford's, has been refused permission to go on registering as a club, though they can carry on pending an appeal. Miss Barbara Fell has asked for leave to appeal against her sentence of 2 years for offences under the Official Secrets Act. In the Melbourne Test, England are 210-3 in answer to Australia's 316. Now, here's John Webster to introduce Radio Newsreel.
Well, so the old year ends with Britain snowed and slowed up. As for us, we begin with further news of the weather from our correspondents in Scotland, Wales, and here in England. First, we go to Dorset, where 70 coach passengers had been stranded in a roadside cafe all Saturday night and Sunday. Tom Codlin has been telling us how they've been getting along.
We're fairly comfortable here. The weather, which showed some signs of improvement late yesterday, has got worse again. We've now got sleet driven by strong easterly winds. The snow's drifted to depths of about 8 feet around the building and so far is showing no signs of thawing. 5 post office engineers have been stranded here since Saturday. They left this morning to walk to Tavistock. They phoned from Merivale, which is about halfway, to say conditions were extremely bad. A relief party have made several attempts to reach us, but have so far been unable to get more than about 2 miles from Tavistock. We're broadcasting all VHF sound and television programs, but lightning and gale damage to our sound lines and receiving aerials have increased our technical problems a little. But we're suffering no physical discomfiture other than a shortage of tobacco and sleep. And our food, tin food supplies of soup and beans, etc., will last us quite easily for another 2 or 3 days.
Well, as we'll be reminding you later in the programme, tonight is New Year's Night, or Hogmanay, to our friends across the border. Our reporter there is Philip Bray, who sent this summary of weather conditions in Scotland.
The bad weather in Scotland has varied considerably, almost according to the district, and the worst snow conditions have hit the borders. To the west, in the Langham area of Dumfrieshire, snowplough crews have been fighting a blinding blizzard throughout the day. An official said this afternoon, the roads have been filling up as quickly as we can clear them. A snowplough will operate throughout the night to keep the main Carlisle-Edinburgh road clear. To the east of the borders, in the counties of Roxburgh and Berwick, hundreds of farms are completely isolated. The start of the new year will see many country families cut off from regular supplies from the tradesmen's vans, which are unable to get through to them. By late afternoon, the blizzard was affecting the train services. 15 miles south of Hawick, the Carlisle to Edinburgh Express was buried in a snowdrift. In the Tweed Valley, farmers are struggling to feed livestock in terrible conditions, and hundreds of ewes, which are due to lamb in 6 weeks' time, have had to be dug out of drifts up to 5 feet deep. About 100 miles further north, near Montrose, on the east coast of Scotland, a 60-mile-an-hour gale has been lashing the summer resort and fishing area. Early this morning, an elderly fisherman, Mr. James Findlay, left his home in Ferryden to secure his rowing boats. Some hours later, his body was found by some other fishermen, washed up by the tide onto the foreshore. An AA spokesman said tonight, "There is no doubt this has been the worst New Year's Eve weather experienced in Scotland for many years, and we advise motorists contemplating long journeys not to undertake them unless it's absolutely necessary, and then only after they've ensured that the road is still open." But strangely, and in contrast to the rest of the country, the one part of Scotland that one would expect to be completely snowed up has seen very little. The Shetland Islands have only had a light covering of snow, not more than an inch or two.
Back across the border now to northeast England. George House sent us this report from Newcastle.
As darkness began to fall this afternoon, 250 soaked and tired men were called off the job of trying to keep the roads of north and west Northumberland open. High up in the exposed moors and hills, the gale force east winds are whipping the snow into huge drifts, and as the ploughs cleared the roads, the snow was piling up again behind them. "The men were fighting a losing battle," said a spokesman, who appealed to motorists to keep away from the higher areas of the county. Northumberland, without a doubt, has been the worst hit county in the north today, though the east coast strip, which carries the Great North Road, has been kept reasonably free. North of Newcastle, there's single-line-only traffic on many stretches of the A1, which is the only recommended east coast route into Scotland. All day, reports have come in of cars, lorries and buses abandoned. In the foothills of the Cheviots in the border area, farmers have been battling through drifts 6 feet deep to rescue hundreds of sheep which have been buried. A helicopter was used to fly supplies of bread to an army camp at Otterburn near the Scottish border. Many towns and villages in Northumberland and Durham are cut off by road completely, including Alston, the highest market town in England, 1,000 feet up in the Pennines, and Allendale, where New Year's Eve is normally traditionally seen in with a blazing tar-barrel procession and a bonfire. It's a ceremony which normally attracts hundreds of visitors, but this year it's strictly for villagers only.
His story must surely be typical of many others.
Our village is normally called the Switzerland of Wales. And yesterday, when it started to snow, it looked very, very pretty. And I started to shovel it away, but I was only wasting my time as the wind was absolutely blowing it over and over again, until in the end I had to stop, and the roads were getting worse, the ploughs were out all night. The last plough went through about 12 o'clock. It was so bad then they had to stop work. Consequently, this morning, it is about 4 feet deep, and on the top, up to 10 feet. The post van got stuck, as the snow was higher than the van itself. I myself tried to get to my place of business in Riffin, which is 25 miles away. I turned back, had another try at the hill, just couldn't do it, but turned back again. My friend opposite, Mr. Jones, he's got a brand new Land Rover. He also tried to get out. He failed and turned back. When he came back, the snow had been over the top of the Land Rover. Now, Mr. Roberts from the post office next door, he had to walk 4 miles to meet the groceries which come to our place here from Liverpool. We've got to try and arrange for a tractor and trailer to collect the groceries and try and get it as near as they can to this shop.
We all know only too well how most of us react to this Arctic-type weather. But what's it like for animals at the London Zoo, whose natural surroundings would be in conditions like this all the year round? And what about those animals who come from the tropics? How do they like Regent's Park in December? Well, Norman Crossland will be getting some of the answers from Dr. Desmond Morris, curator of mammals at the zoo.
I would have thought the happiest creatures in London today are the Arctic animals. Is this the case?
They're certainly very lively at the zoo. They're pacing up and down in the snow, and I've even seen some of them lying down in it, and they certainly do seem to be more active now.
Do they have any form of central heating in their cages?
Well, quite a few of the animals here have a choice. You know, they can either go into a warm den or come out into the snow, and a lot of the ones that could go into warm dens are in fact out and about, moving around on the icy surface, and they don't seem to suffer in any way. As a matter of fact, people seem to think that this time of the year, a lot of animals are suffering very badly from the wild animals, that is, are suffering very badly from the snow. But the ones here at the zoo, which of course do have, I must admit, a good food supply, which of course some of the animals living rough wouldn't have, these animals, even though they may have come from a tropical climate, are doing extremely well in captivity and don't show any signs of suffering particularly from the cold.
What are they doing today, the tropical animals?
Well, for example, in the lion house, I just walked past and saw one tiger lying out on the snow when it could have been in a nice warm corner. And the most dramatic sight was the black leopards, jet black against the white snow. Very.
The curator of mammals of the London Zoo was talking to Norman Crossland.
Here is the news. The great blizzard that swept over southern England during the night and today is now known to have caused at least 4 deaths. 2 people were found dead in a car that had been buried all night in a snowdrift just outside Weymouth. Hundreds of roads are still blocked, but in the greater London area, train services have started to improve. There is a warning of more snow in the next 24 hours over most of Britain, and in eastern districts, falls may be heavy. In the extreme southwest, a thaw has started, and it will spread gradually northwards and eastwards. President Chombe of Katanga, now in southern Rhodesia, has said he has not fled the country, but is going back to help in the fight to the end. The United Nations chief in the Congo says the UN force won't make the mistake this time of stopping too soon. Here at home, the government's attitude towards the United Nations and the Congo has been strongly attacked by Mr. Harold Wilson. The death has occurred of Hugh Sinclair, whose acting career covered 40 years in the theatre, films and television. The blizzard, which has covered southern England thickly with snow, is now known to have caused the deaths of at least 4 people. 2 of them were found this morning in a car buried in a snowdrift just outside Weymouth in Dorset. David Shute reports from Bristol.
It's been a fantastic day here in the south and west, with snowdrifts as high as bedroom windows, scores of roads blocked, and villages cut off. The blizzard, which raged across the region last night, brought death to two elderly people at Weymouth. They were the grandparents in a family of five from Dorchester, whose car was buried in the snow at Osmington Hill. The survivors had to wait until 10 o'clock this morning to be rescued. 72 people travelling home to North Mundon near Chichester from a pantomime in London had to spend the night on the road when their two coaches got stuck in the snow at Droxford in Hampshire. One of them was a diabetic in need of injections, and police managed to get him to a doctor in time. Another 72 travellers are still marooned in a roadside cafe near Yeovil in Somerset. Among them is a 5-week-old baby. Snowplows have been halted 3 miles from the cafe, but a man on skis has got through with milk from the baby.
We've since been told by the Dorchester police that the three other people found in the car near Weymouth, they include a young boy, are seriously ill. In Kent, a 55-year-old London bus driver, Mr. Israel Wells, collapsed while he was digging his number 227 bus out of a snowdrift. He was taken to Beckenham Hospital, but was dead before the ambulance got there. And across the river in Essex, a 60-year-old milk roundsman of Lee-on-Sea, Mr. William Starkey, collapsed and died while he was delivering milk in the snow at Westcliff. Once again, the weather was nowhere worse during the day than in the West Country. Here is another report, this time from Peter Crampton in Plymouth.
Here in the southwest, this has been the day of the helicopter, the only sure means of getting around in this waste of snow and ice. Helicopters from the RAF station at Chibonar in North Devon have been out 5 times, picking up elderly people marooned in snowdrifts, taking drivers back to their stranded snowploughs, going to the aid of passengers in snowbound buses. A helicopter rushed a sick woman to hospital in Red Roof, and another flew in urgently needed supplies of tinned milk and yeast for the besieged villages of Princetown on Dartmoor. After a night and a morning of chaos, things began to move again a little this afternoon. Some of the main roads, particularly the A38 from Taunton to Plymouth, were open for traffic again, and on some other roads, single-line traffic was working. But in many places and on many roads, especially on and around Dartmoor, the drifts lie as deep as ever.
One express train from the West Country, from Penzance, reached London this afternoon nearly 7 hours late. The driver, who retires in a few months' time, said it was the worst journey he had ever made. In general, though, things on the railways have begun to improve, thanks to the hard work of thousands of men, and there have been reports this afternoon of some lines being cleared. And overnight trains from Scotland were reaching King's Cross a little early. But at Clapham Junction, said to be the busiest junction in the world, there were no trains in either direction for several hours. And for a long time, the Portsmouth line was the only main southern route from London carrying through trains. Hundreds of cross-channel travellers were held up. Conditions were so bad in Dover Harbour that a number of channel ferries had to put to sea. A Belgian mail boat was switched to Folkestone and sailed for Ostend hours late, and the Belgian Channel ferry waited at Folkestone for Dunkirk night ferry passengers who had spent the night in 2 trains at Dover. And things are still difficult in Sussex. Emrys Walters takes up the story from Brighton.
During the day, conditions have worsened in many parts of Sussex. There hasn't been much more snow since this morning, and in some cases the snow has been blown off the roads, leaving behind a thin sheet of hard ice. The A272 from the coast to Horsham is like this and is very dangerous. The story coming in throughout the afternoon is one of blocked roads. It's blocked between Seaford and Eastbourne, between Lewes and Newhaven. On the London to Brighton road, between South Crawley and Ham Cross, a stretch of dual carriageway. Here, the southbound road is closed and the northbound road has become a two-way. A note of relief in an otherwise hard day is that there have been few accidents on the roads in the county. A fire engine was called out on an unusual assignment in Brighton itself today. A 4-wheel drive vehicle brought a maternity case to the Sussex Maternity Hospital. Its route was blocked, but its diversion was over Brighton's racecourse, and patient, midwife, and ambulance team arrived safely.
Finally, London. Though things are now improving, the underground has been more badly affected than during the snow last winter. In many places, snow is well above the conductor rails. The buses haven't been doing too badly, except in hilly areas. The belt of snow is now affecting the North Midlands and North Wales and has reached as far as the North Riding. There is not now much snow falling south of the Thames, but the thaw, which began this morning in the southwest, is extending only very slowly. The forecasters say the thaw will go on in the southwest and is expected to spread slowly into South Wales and along the Channel coast, possibly reaching the South Midlands. But more snow is expected in most parts of Britain. Falls are likely to be moderate or heavy in many eastern areas, with drifting in strong to gale-force easterly winds. Widespread frost is expected again tonight. Tuesday's weather should be milder in much of England and Wales, but it will stay cold with more snow in Scotland and Northern Ireland. To help people travelling to work tomorrow, we shall be putting out some specially extended bulletins with information on train and bus service prospects and so on. You can hear them in the Light programme tonight at 7:30 and 10:30, and again tomorrow morning at 6:30 and 7:30. Snow and ice still cover most of Northern Europe. Canals are frozen solid in North Germany. Traffic in most of Belgium is paralysed by ice. But in much of France, there is already a thaw, and southern Europe is getting back to normal. In southern Germany, the temperature shot up 20 degrees in a matter of hours.
Frozen saw a fresh, heavier-than-ever fall of snow, and outside, garden gates barely visible, deep drifts on country and suburban roads, and for those who had to think of travelling, whether to church to see relatives or journeys further afield, well, there were some hasty reconsiderations. And indeed, from all over the country, stories of danger, discomfort, all sorts of incidents have been coming in. A colleague from Cardiff recounts how a hill farmer in mid-Wales has opened up his home for impromptu chapel meetings. Small congregations, he said, naturally, almost everywhere. Now, in the towns, trains and bus services have been working on a do-the-best-you-can basis. But in the West Country, the snowstorm has brought with it some dramatic stories. Here's a traveller's tale told to David Shute in Bristol by some waterworks engineers in the Mendips.
The further we went into the Mendips, the deeper the drifts got. 6 foot. We ploughed through that and dug our way through, and eventually Mr. Withers, it was in front, towing one of the pumps, hit this big drift about 20 foot across by 10 foot deep. And there, he wireless backed, putting it in the Air Force term of Mayday. The radio packed up on him, his batteries went flat, his lights went out, his engine stopped. In a matter of a quarter of an hour, the minibus behind us and the two rovers were completely buried by the snow. We staggered through the drifts, keeping as close to one another by shouting, and eventually we saw this farmhouse in front of us. Mr. Withers said the best thing for us to do is to, if we're going to stay alive, is to knock this farmhouse up and ask us if they'll give us shelter.
Now, Gerald Withers, the professor, is next to you. Gerald, how did you feel when you found yourselves cut off in the midst of this snowy wilderness?
At one particular time, getting towards the end after the lights had gone out of my Land Rover and the engine had stopped, the radio had gone, I was absolutely freezing. I couldn't feel my face, hands, feet, body, nothing. And at one particular time, I thought I was going to pass out.
And further southwest, where that hopeful thaw is said to be coming from, it's been still pretty bitter.
29 vehicles were stuck in the snow between Burford and Stow in the Wold. The latest report is that snow ploughs have got all roads open to single-line traffic, but they're still extremely hazardous. And Oxfordshire's chief fire officer, Mr. Timothy White, has just issued a warning about fire risks. He says that fire engines may not be able to reach fires off the main roads. In any case, there'll be a considerable delay in answering calls. In Warwickshire, there's been a 14-foot drift on the notorious Fish Hill between Stratford and Broadway. In Herefordshire, motorists have been digging themselves out of drifts. And in the rest of the Midland counties, conditions are extremely dangerous as the roads turn into a freezing mass of snow and ice. In Leicestershire, the county police have taken the unprecedented step of collecting 2-hourly road reports from their stations and police houses throughout the county. A condition report is available for anyone attempting to travel in Leicestershire. And that report a few minutes ago was, roads are passable, but only with very great care.
The Weald of Kent, with its exposed hillsides, narrow lanes, and a similar story of chaos from Malcolm Mitchell in Canterbury.
Although some 300 snowploughs have been in action in Kent today, many roads are still blocked by snowdrifts. The A2 is still blocked at Cobham and Stone, and travel was further hampered when a double-decker bus overturned at Beacon Hill between Faversham and Sittingbourne. The fire brigade was called in to help, and sub-officer George Finn of Faversham found that the only passengers aboard were his wife and two children, who were slightly injured. Other blocked roads include those between Hythe and Lydd, Deal and Dover, and Ramsgate to Canterbury. The snow ploughs are still working, although one is stuck in a 7-foot drift on the Dover to Deal Road near the Duke of York's Royal Military School. Kent farmers have had a busy day, taking out food for their sheep, and in some cases rescue operations have taken place where sheep have become lost in the deep drifts on downland. The AA at Maidstone report that they dealt with more than 1,000 telephone calls for advice or physical help. Over 60 vehicles were abandoned on Death Hill at Farningham on the A20, and police and road workers have spent the day clearing these from the roads. Within the last 2 hours, it has been possible for single-line traffic to operate on this stretch of the A20. Frost is forecast for tonight, and the motoring organisations are urging their members not to travel at all, even if roads are clear by the morning.
Well, it's been possible to sketch in only a few details of this picture. The RAC say that the blizzard now seems to be spreading north to Yorkshire. They've had their troubles in Scotland, too, with the Perth, Bray, Mar, and many other main roads still blocked. Here in London, the underground trains have kept moving, though a few stretches of line above ground have been blocked. The buses have plodded on. In fact, early today, they were almost the sole road users. But
it'll be very cold everywhere, with easterly winds reaching gale force in many areas and bringing generally cloudy weather. There will also be showers of snow and sleet, and in east and northeast England and eastern districts of Scotland, showers may be frequent enough to give moderate falls of snow in some areas with heavy drifting. Elsewhere, only scattered showers are expected, and in western districts of Scotland, northwest England and northern Ireland, there'll be a few bright intervals. Frost will be widespread tonight and at first tomorrow, and roads will be icy. But maximum temperatures will be just a little above freezing point, similar to today's. The outlook for Wednesday, continuing cold with frost morning and evening and further snow in places. The old year is going out in a flurry of the most unpleasant sort of winter weather. Snow, sleet, freezing drizzle and high winds. In Scotland, the Hogmanay weather is described as the worst for many years. First footers in Northumberland, the worst hit county in the north of England, are being advised to do their first footing on foot.